I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, my name is Bart. Welcome to Bart Cop Radio Show 78, often seen on BartCop.com, often heard on the Bart Cop Radio networks. And gotta tell you, Show 78 is different from all the other shows. As you know, all the shows are individually different, but this one's different in that it's a show that's a long time coming. Sat down Friday to put the final caps on the show, and when I listened to the playback, I just didn't like it, so I shucked the whole mother. I just threw the entire show away. Now, I gotta admit, I saved it. And we might use that in the future about, you know, say if we end up doing a good show someday, we might run the bad with the good to contrast how far we've come. But the show, it just didn't have it. And I know the high level of quality to which you have become accustomed being a Bart Cop Radio listener. A great man, no, it was Tommy Mac, once told me that they might not remember a late show, but they'll damn sure remember a bad show. So keeping that in mind, I decided to chuck the mother on Friday, and so what we ended up with was kind of almost a live show. Now see, the bad news is it's a show on the fly, but that might be the good news, because at some point, as the years go by, we'd like to eventually move into some live radio, and I'm trying to train my mind and my mouth to synchronize so that what I think is actually what comes out. It's not as easy as it sounds. So what you're going to hear basically is a live show with some of the mistakes taken out. There's probably going to be more mistakes than usual. But what I did Friday when I realized I had no show and I was due to produce a show, I picked up the Friday newspaper and I went through it. And I think last time we did that, I got a bunch of mail saying, Bart, please don't ever do that again. It was terrible. So maybe this will be better than that last time. So before we can get started, we must shut. Before we can get started, we must start. Before we get started, we must do our shot o' Chinaco. And let me say something about that. Some of you sharp-eared people, you can tell that I'm down to my last shot of Chinaco. Somewhere in this last week, someone wrote and said, Bart, I can't afford the Chinaco, so I had to drink the rot gut. But the thing is, I figured out, I can tell by the date on the bottle, this bottle has lasted me more than 35 days. And the bottle was $34.95 in Tulsa. Boy, corn and Chinaco, two things you can get in Tulsa, cheap and good. But that means that my Chinaco cost me less than $1 a day. Now, I understand if you don't have $30 a month, if you don't have $7 a week, then you seriously can't afford Chinaco. But I got a feeling some of you can come up with $1 a day. Not that you have to drink Chinaco. I just hate to see you miss out on something that tastes this good because you thought you couldn't afford it. Like I say, you're not supposed to buy the bottle and turn it upside down. You know, you buy the bottle at 8 o'clock and at 8:30, you're out of Chinaco. That's not how you're supposed to drink this stuff. You can make it last 5 weeks if you try. So, yeah, try that. As previously mentioned, the corn. There's another new kind of corn. I keep meaning to get this into print or something, but damn, you just don't know what it's like. There's 100 things that need to go in every issue, and if I remember 60 of them, I feel like I'm ahead. But last time I went to Bixby, this would be, I don't know, recently, went in there and they had the five bins, and one of the bins was full of Precious Gem, G-E-M, Precious Gem corn. And it was so effing good, I can't tell you. Big, giant ears. A little bit of white, a little bit of yellow. Can't go wrong there. Oh, and it was just so good. So that's, I guess, six or seven different kinds of corn. We've had the two new ones this year. We had, besides the Precious Gem, we had the Incredible. Oh, and then there was the peaches and cream. So that's three new kinds of corn just in 3 weeks. Oh, Lordy, Lord. When I get done recording this here, I'm going back to Bixby. No telling what they got this week. So in Oklahoma, there's a lot of bad news. I know you've heard some of that.
Oklahoma, please.
But what they do have in Tulsa, they got the Chinaco, they got the corn, and the traffic's pretty good here. How many of you don't like traffic? In Tulsa, the traffic pretty much moves. I've been to other cities. You ever been to Dallas? You ever been to L.A.? You ever been to Chicago? You ever been to D.C.? You ever been in, well, New York even moved faster than a lot of cities I've seen, but, oh. In Tulsa, you generally have room in front of you. You press go on the accelerator, and you're going somewhere. Go figure. I could ramble all day, and when you hear this show, you know I do. Let's do a shot of Chinooka so we can start this big mama. I killed it. I killed the whole bottle. So when I get done with Bixby, I'm going to have to swing by the spirit store, get me another $34.95 bottle of Chinooka Añejo. Okay, big, big show. You're not going to believe how good it is. Boom!
This is www.bartcop.com.
This next section is all about today's newspaper, and I hope this show turns out better than it looks so far, because so far it's just like a big mess. I had a big stack, 6, 7, 8, 9 inches tall, sitting next to my computer, things I cut out from the newspaper, and I tried to get into it, and it just seemed to be a big mush and muddled mess. I didn't erase it, though. That may end up having to be the show. But I'm going to try to make a segment here out of today's paper. And it might get a little heavy, so since that's the case, we're going to start out with something light. From the U.S. Whore Today, in the Lifetime section, that's where they do the frivolous stuff. This is the Paris Hilton Report. I see the Wizard of Oz is coming out in super hi-fi digital. I think that's kind of amazing. I don't know of anyone who doesn't like The Wizard of Oz. I think it's been such a big movie for so many decades that pretty much no matter what age you are, you remember seeing it as a little kid, and it just turned out to be a good movie. I remember when I was a little kid, for some reason they would always show it on Friday nights. And when I was a little kid, I was a Boy Scout. No, I was a Cub Scout. I was something. Anyway, we always had our Cub Scout meetings on Friday, so almost every time we saw The Wizard of Oz, we had to leave about the time it got interesting. But it's going to be nice to see The Wizard of Oz in Super Duper. They say this dude Feltenstein, says it's incredible clarity. It looks better than it did on the original release. Boy, he must be old. I saw the burlap stitching on Scarecrow Ray Bolger's forehead and a pimple on Judy Garland's lip. Well, oh, cool. We're all waiting to see that. Here's the thing about the summer TV shows turning out to be a turnoff. Looks like Dancing with the Stars made a little money for ABC, which is a show I avoided with all my heart. Hell's Kitchen I avoided. Fire Me, Please. Please. Hit Me, Baby, One More Time. I did see some of that. I guess old people watched some of that. Got some good friends who are going to be on that. But we can't reveal anything at this point. But sure, doesn't everybody who's older want to see what happened to their, not rock stars, but, you know, people who had hits in the 80s? I think that's a decent reason to have a show like that. Empire and ABC don't even, oh, that's that Helen of Troy thing? I missed that. I Want to Be Hilton, I Never Have Seen It. The Cut, Never Have Seen It. Average Joe, Never Have Seen It. So out of all these, I've seen Hit Me Baby One More Time. There's a new one coming up Monday. Hopefully this will be out by Monday. Reading here, it says, and the new wave of midsummer programming brings hoped-for hits with CBS singing competition Rockstar in Excess, which premieres Monday, and Fox's So You Think You Can Dance, a contest from the second one, So You Think You Can Dance, Don't Know, Don't Care. But the first one, In Excess, looking for a lead singer, I think that could be a pretty good show. It's going to be a little like American Idol, but instead of singing a bunch of weenie songs and country songs and show fucking tunes, please, they're going to sing actual rock songs that actual people might actually buy. And it's not going to be, they're promising no William Hongs. Remember that, she bangs, da-da-da, she bangs. That guy, he said they ain't going to have none of that. These are all going to be real singers. They say they're not going to make a bunch of hay out of, why don't we do 6 or 8 weeks of morons who can't sing at all and we'll make fun of them. Yeah, I guess there's a place for that if your dope's better than mine. But I think it's going to be kind of exciting to see them pick a new singer. And they say they're going to have an album out in December, which sounds to me like they've already picked a new singer and are hard at work in the studio. But I'm looking forward to that. Here's another one. It says, a show we won't see. It was going to be on ABC. It's called Welcome to the Neighborhood. Apparently, it was going to be shown this Sunday, the premiere. It was yanked last week after protest groups and fair housing advocates objected to white Texas families' bigoted reactions to the gay minority couples competing to be their neighbors. Well, why was that yanked? If Texas is full of a bunch of bigoted, gay-hating bastards, why do we have to hide that fact from the country? I don't see why the truth... Oh, that's right, Bush is president. That's why the truth must be hidden at all costs, and I think that's a mistake. If Texas is full of a bunch of bigoted bastards, let's put that on TV and let Texas stand up and say, no, we are not that way. We like gay people, we like black people, we like Hispanics, we like foreigners, we're just like the other states, but no, they can't do that, because in Texas, and not all of you, if you're a liberal in Texas, don't write and say, did you dare say that about my... Texas is like Georgia, they're like Oklahoma, they're like Florida, they're like Alabama, they're like Mississippi, they're like Georgia, they're like Carolina. They are bigoted sons of bitches. They are. I'm sorry. If I'm lying, then cancel your subscription, send me a snippy email, call the BART phone, and pitch a hissy fit. But if I'm telling the truth and you don't like to hear the truth, then get over it. Moving on. Here's a review of the new Fantastic Four movie. I haven't seen it. When I was a kid, I kind of liked Fantastic Four, but I just never saw it. My connections at the time were to DC Comics, so I got all the Superman, the Batman, the Green Lantern, the Justice League, even some Sergeant Rock and some other stuff. Spider-Man and Fantastic Four and all those people, they just weren't on my radar screen. But I just kind of liked the idea of the Fantastic Four movie. And, of course, everybody likes looking at Jessica Alba. And Vic Mackey from... The Shield playing the Thing, it's clobbering time. That ought to be good, I think. But here, this lady, Claudia Puig, it's Pig with a U, she just hated the movie. And instead of saying, I just hate this movie, she tried to be cute. Now, I've done a bunch of movie reviews, and if you thought I was trying to be cute, I wasn't. Generally, I either really liked it or really hated it. If it was kind of sort of okay, generally I don't do the review because it's sort of okay. It's going to be a sort of, you know, why bother? But this lady, her crime is she's trying to be cute. And I hate when people try to be cute. Big headline, Fantastic overstates it. Subheadline, Thing is, see already, she's trying to be cute. I effing hate that. Would you quit trying to be cute? Thing is, these heroes are less than incredible. Now, her big problem, I'm going to read you one paragraph, but her big problem is she saw The Incredibles last year, and I didn't see it. I don't see cartoon movies. I may have seen a cartoon movie in my life somehow, but to me it is extra super stupid to get a bunch of actors or whatever, yeah, good actors. It kills me when people like Tom Hanks or Woody Harrelson or, you know, some decent actors, they go and do a cartoon movie where they do the voiceovers. I think that's stupid. There was a guy who used to be on Howard Stern's show, Billy, well, I can't remember, I think he ended up doing the voices on Ren and Stimpy. But he is very, very talented. He's a vocal mimic, whatever you call those guys. That's who you ought to have doing these movies. How stupid to have Eddie Murphy play the donkey. Well, every time he opens his mouth, I see Eddie Murphy. I have never seen those movies, but you can't help but see a clip on TV or the Oscar nominations or whatever. But cartoon movies to me are absolute zip zero. I won't go see one. Just quit it with the cartoon movies. If you can't get actors, if you're not... They sit around and they draw, and then they get a real actor. That's not filmmaking. That's comic books. If you want to do a comic book, put out a comic book. If you want to make a movie, get some actors. Okay, but this Claudia Puig's big problem with the Fantastic Four movie is that it's not The Incredibles. She thinks The Incredibles was the greatest thing of all time, and this movie is not The Incredibles, so therefore it must suck. She also wants this movie real bad to be Spider-Man, and since it's not Spider-Man, the movie must suck. So listen to this. This woman gets paid to write for the biggest newspaper in the country, and listen to this crap. Fantastic Four is quite similar to the superheroes it showcases, like the sulfurous Human Torch, who bursts into flames at will, and is capable of impressive pyrotechnic displays. But like Mr. Fantastic, whose limbs and torso elongate like taffy, it stretches its storyline's credibility to the breaking point. Like The Thing, the brawny chunk of magma known, well, as The Thing, it has rocks in its head. Oh, now isn't that cute? Hey, Claudia Puig, how did you like the Fantastic Four movie? Oh, it had rocks in its head. Well, yeah, that makes a fucking lot of sense. What's wrong with people? I am an uneducated idiot, and I can write better than this. This lady probably gets paid real money to write for the biggest newspaper in the country, and that's her idea of a movie review? The movie has rocks in its head? Aren't you insulted? Aren't you embarrassed for this poor woman? And you sometimes wish the movie would just disappear like Sue Storm, the Invisible Woman. Well, see, now, this lady has no intention of reviewing the movie. She's trying to think, how cute can I get? How many cliches can I string together and insult the intelligence of anybody stupid enough to buy a USA Today? I am insulted. Oh, a little sidebar right next to that. There's a quarter page explaining how to make the world's greatest margarita. They say it's all about the supporting cast, and what they're trying to push on in is Grand Mariner, Grand Meunier. I'm not French. I'm sorry. I don't speak the language. I thought I knew how to make a margarita when I owned a bar, but I didn't. And you don't need this Grand Meunier. It's $30-$40 a bottle. You know, if you're going to pay that much for a bottle of something, buy the good stuff, buy tequila. And they talk about how you want to make the greatest margarita in the world. Well, let me tell you how. If you're going to spend the money for real tequila and you want to beat up your purchase, you're going to mix it with something. Now, how idiotic. Let's take the Mona Lisa and mix it with dogs playing poker. And now we got Mona Poker. I mean, that just makes no damn sense. If you got a world-class tequila in your hand, don't fix it, okay? But if you're a lady, if you don't want to be seen doing shots of tequila, here's how you make the world's best margarita. Well, you do a shot of tequila, and then you bite into a lime. A lime was made by God, and if you got a better margarita than God, then come to my house and pour me one. But if you're going to screw up the good taste of tequila, screw it up with a real lime. Don't go buy Freddy Bob's lime mix. Please, let's get some powder and mix some sewer water from the tap, and then mix that with our $40 tequila. Don't do that. You're making me nuts. Now get out of here. Moving on with the light, because when we get to the heavy, we're hoping the light will balance the heavy. All right, same section here. There is some new DVDs out this week. One of them is Born to Kill, which they gave 4 stars to. This guy says, let's see, who is this? Mike Clark, who you can trust more than this Claudia Puig. Mike Clark said, Born to Kill is the nastiest 50s movies he knows. Say that again. Born to Kill is the nastiest of the 50s movies that he knows of. Makes me want to rent it. Point Blank, from 1967, Lee Marvin, something, gave it 3.5 stars. Last one is The Good Father, starring Hannibal Lecter, 3.5 stars in 1985. But my question is, who rents these movies? Blockbuster doesn't have movies like this. You can't go into Blockbuster and under the new movie section find a black and white movie from 1947. That doesn't happen. Maybe it happens in Hollywood. Doesn't happen in Tulsa. And I'll tell you, we've got some big-ass Blockbuster buildings, whatever they're called, here in town. I don't know. They have thousands of movies. I don't know how many, but it's a big 4,000 square feet, 200 by 200. That holds a lot of movies. But they're not going to have these movies. Who rents these movies? I know you're probably thinking Netflix, but I don't know. Do we trust the mailman with our movies? I see where Dagwood is having his 75th anniversary in the comic strips, but I don't know. Was Dagwood ever funny? I started reading a newspaper when I was a little bitty Eskimo. I was 5-6 years old when I started reading the newspaper, and Dagwood didn't entertain me in 1960. And so, 45 years later, They're celebrating their anniversary. Well, gee, how many decades since you were funny, Dagwood? Okay, checking out the TV viewing for the weekend, which you're not going to get to hear because this is going to be after the weekend probably, but the garbage reruns on Dave tonight. Have you been watching that Into the West by Steven Spielberg? I think it's pretty good. It's not super grand, but it's a real good show. It's the history of the West, and I kind of hate that because when you do the history of the West, you pretty much, half of it's going to be how we murdered the Indians, and it's always, you know, who wants to go there? But if you're going to tell the truth, you're going to tell the history of the United States, yeah, how we screwed the Indian has got to be all in there. But there's this one actress you might know, her, Carrie Russell. She was Felicity, a show I didn't watch, but she's a good-looking. How are you going to ignore her? Anyway, she got kidnapped by the bad, bad Indians, and they took her back to their little teepee and had babies with her. And then they just, we never saw her again. Last time we saw her, she was happy. She had a little papoose there, and she fell in love with her kidnapper and learned the Indian language. And she was smiling last time we saw her, and then they never saw her again. They never showed what happened to her. Spielberg. You've made some mistakes lately, Steve, and that seemed to be one of them. Always getting an email, Bart, when are you going to do some more financial for us? Investors have learned not to panic. Big headline, level heads ruled the day. The stock market went down in America like 100 points when the bombing in England news came out, but then it came back like 90 points. It ended up losing a couple of points. On one hand, that's good. It shows that we're not going to be pushed around. But on the other hand, what it shows is if you blow up three subways and a bus and kill just 40 people, we're going to yawn and say, what else you got? Now, that's really not a good thing to say to a handjob, suicidal religio monkey. Report, malpractice premiums up 120%. Got one paragraph for you here. Malpractice, ready? Medical malpractice premiums paid to the nation's top 15 insurers grew 120% from 2000 to 2004, says a report released Thursday. But claims payments remained essentially flat, and estimates on future claims dropped. The report, which analyzed data that insurers filed with states, counters assertions by the industry that rising jury awards have led to higher premiums. This is all Bush's fault. That son of a bitch, he says, we got to fix tort reform because look at all these millions and thousands of doctors that all have to leave their practice because the premiums are so high because all the payouts from the liberals. It's the liberals and the liberal trial lawyers. And they gave this one lady had a hangnail and they gave her $100 billion, you know, but none of that's true. Someone that we can trust, I don't know who it is, said that frivolous claims probably add 2% to the cost of the insurance premiums, but the sons of bitches, what do? They went up 120% in their premiums. So if you were paying them, if you're a doctor and you're paying them $1,000 a month, now you're paying them $2,200 a month. And what are they doing with that money? They're keeping it, just like the BFEE. They're gouging you to death like they were a damn oil company. I know, I'm going to get email. Well, Bart, you didn't personally research this, so how do you know? Well, hey, I don't know. I'm reading the damn newspaper. I have to put some kind of faith in the networks and the newspapers. I mean, I've never been to Iraq, so I don't know what's going on there. To some degree, we're going to have to trust the people who are there who file reports. But this guy is saying, whoever, read your Friday USA Today, the money section, you'll get more details. But it says, the trade group Physicians Insurers Association of America called the study's methods misleading. Well, sure. These guys are stealing, swear to Koresh, hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're doing it like crazy, and they know that Bush is behind them. Nobody's going to put a clamp on these people. Do you remember when Bill and Hillary got to Washington? The healthcare costs suddenly leveled off. The healthcare magnates, NATE, they all decided that they could do without a bunch of increases while Bill and Hillary were up there making noise about fixing the health care. They just decided, well, let's not increase prices. But then the monkey gets in there, and now it's time to increase everything. They're just stealing us blind, and they can do that because they know the monkey and his GOP Congress are going to let them. So they're screwing the little guy to death again. They're going to screw these doctors to where the doctor's going to say, we can't treat AIDS people, we can't treat old people, we can't treat foreigners, we can't treat, here's a list of all the people we don't want to treat anymore. If you're white and rich, come talk to me. That's what we got because the monkey is president. headline, front page of the financial section, oil worries airlines more than terrorism. High fuel costs, not terrorism, dominate concerns of the struggling U.S. airline industry Thursday, despite the fatal train and bus bombings in London. Airlines are taking guidance from the aftermath of the March 2004 terrorist bombings in Madrid, which killed 191 in the deadliest attack since World War II. Deadliest attack in Europe. Subsequent impact on demand for travel to Spain was minimal, and industry analysts look for the same in the wake of the latest terrorism. The average daily number of airline passengers from the USA to Spain increased 10% in the month following the Madrid attacks, according to BAC Aviation's Solutions. Well, so what does that mean? Oil worries airlines more than terrorism. To me, that says they're more worried about Bush than they are Osama. They know that there's an oil man in the White House. Is it a surprise that the price of oil has doubled since Bush got in the White House? Everybody's like, oh, well, there was a terror strike. Well, yeah, gee, that's what there was. That's what everybody's pinning this on. But the facts are, we were drowning in cheap oil until Bush got elected. Now, here's a list of reasons why we're paying 60 a barrel, and it's going to 100. I know it's morally wrong, but if you got some money, buy oil futures or whatever those are called, because oil's going to 100. It's going. Nothing can stop it. Oil's going to 100 because the monkey is in the White House, and he's got this thing set on a path that's not going to be easy to turn around. These bastards are doubling their money every year, and they're telling us it's Osama's fault. No, it's not Osama's fault. It's Bush's fault. This is exactly why they stole power in 2000. The oil industry is going to run dry, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years, they're going to run dry soon, and they've got to make they have to steal all the hundreds of billions of dollars they can before their oil runs out. And their best friend is George Bush. He's pumping Iraq dry. When they say, we're not going to leave Iraq till the job's done, yeah, when there's less than one barrel of oil left in Iraq, then we might consider leaving. And someone else had a good idea. Remember the excuse for the 1990 Gulf War was that Saddam was drilling sideways into Kuwait or whatever, the angular, whatever that's called. You don't think Bush is going to do that? You don't think Bush is going to? Why is he going to steal from Iraq but not Kuwait? Please. They're going to steal like crazy. What's Kuwait going to do? Say, stop, thief, come back here with our oil? Yeah, Kuwait's got to stand up to Bush and say, here's the plan. No. Bush owns Kuwait. His daddy owns Kuwait. The oil companies own Kuwait. Kuwait was given their country by George Bush the Smarter, so they're not in a position to do anything. But yes, the headline ought to read, Bush worries airlines more than Osama, but since the press is controlled by Karl Rove, that's not what the story says. Here's another thing inside the financial section. Big headline, quote, terrific, unquote, June sales elate retailers. So the retailers are elated about how fantastic their June sales were. They are elated. It's so fantastic. Sales are up so much. And of course, it's because of Godley W. and his vision for America that's rooting out. No, it's none of that. When you read the sub-headline, industry has its best showing since May 04. Now, see? Funny how Bush only has to compete with himself. If Bush got a 40 on the first test and he got a 60 on the next test, which is still failing, the headline reads, Bush 50% smarter. And people think, whoa, the genius is so much smarter than he was. But he's still failing. He went from 40 to 60. Industry has its best showing since May 04. Hey, I got an idea. Instead of comparing Bush of today with the failure Bush yesterday, why not compare Bush today with Bill Clinton 5-6 years ago? Why not do that? No, can't have Bush compared to Clinton. We can only compare Bush to Bush. You know, it's a pattern. Reagan did it too when he got in office. First thing he did was crash the economy. He crashed it into a brick wall. And just like they're doing with Bush now, they're saying, oh, the economy's picking up at a rate unforeseen. It's never happened before. No one's ever seen this rate of it. Well, yeah, when you start at zero and you go from zero to 10, you are screaming with your rate increase, but you're still at 10 miles an hour instead of the 75 you were going when Clinton was in office. But like everything, Bush can't get into any contest that's not rigged up front. So he tells the U.S. whore today, Anastasio decided that this terrific, terrific. Oh, they're so elated. The retailers are elated by the terrific economy and just can't stand how great it is. But that's compared to last year when things were worse than they are today. And, gee, why not compare it to 3 years ago when things were double worse than they are today? You know, we haven't got anywhere near up to break even yet. But the U.S. whore today is screaming the praises of our godly Bush. Son of a bitch. If we had a free press in America, I don't guess I'd have a job. I guess I'd be a Bart at the car lot. If we had a free press in America, maybe I should shut up. Okay, now we're done with the light. Time to start looking at some heavy. Front page, Friday's U.S. Hoarder Day. First thing is maybe a nitpicker, but the headline, big giant headline, slaughter shocks London. And they had to put slaughter in quotation marks. Why can't U.S. Hoarder Day just report the news? Why do they have to go ask somebody, what happened here? And the guy says, it was a slaughter. So now they have a headline. Why can't the newspaper say, carnage in London or something? Why can't they decide what the news is? Why do they have to go ask somebody what happened? You would think USA Today would know somebody in London. There's got to be somebody in that city they can trust. There's got to be one guy in London that will tell them the truth. But no, they go around asking for quotes, and they put the quotes in the headline. So that's where we get a lot of trouble with Bush. Oh, greatest economy ever. And then a little tiny print says Bush flunky, says Bush BFEE subject. Why can't they just give us the news? Okay, subheadline, Blair vows justice. Well, I guess maybe that's all they can do, but, you know, these guys are pretty much invisible. They're willing to murder themselves to murder some other people. So whom will Blair bring to justice? It's like the 9/11. We're going to track down the people that did this. Well, their asses are dead, unless you believe the conspiracy thing where Barbara Olson is hiding in an underground bunker and she can't call Ted. I don't know. Some of you people, if you got some proof, let's see it. But the idea, you know, that's really weird. My name is Bart. I have a little website called BartCop.com, and we often keep an eye on the Bush administration. And it's so weird when people write to me and say, Bart, Iraq didn't attack us. It's like, oh, really? Is that true? It's like, Bart, Bush stole power. And I'm thinking, oh, really? Did he? Why do people write to me like I'm the newest asshole to fall off the turnip truck? I'm not some smart guy. I don't know everything, but I have been alive the last 5 years. It's so weird when people explain shit to me about Bush being the evil man. Anyway, we got Blair vowing justice. Well, I guess that's all you can say. What are you going to say? You can't get in front of a microphone and say, boy, we're screwed. These people just keep screwing us. So they get up there and they lie. Maybe there's some positive reason to lie to the people. We vow to track these people down. We will make them pay. We will bring justice to them. But you're not going to do that. You can't. Bush has been looking for Osama, allegedly, for almost 4 years. He doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have the slightest clue, unless he's telling Osama, we're checking segment 4 tomorrow, so move to segment 5. It's kind of amazing that Osama can hide the most wanted man on the planet times 50, and he can hide that easily. Kind of amazing. But anyway, they're vowing justice. They're going to bring justice to the kidnappers. They're going to bring justice to the bad guys. Prime Minister Tony Blair vowed the killers would not get away with their act. Well, they did. They just murdered those people. What do you mean they're not going to get away with it? The other thing, I saw a cartoon. There's an Uncle Sam guy standing there saying 9/11. There's an English dude standing next to him saying 7/7, the day of the London attack. It's like, well, no, they're not quite equal. Bringing down the center of New York and killing 3,000 people is a little different than blowing up 3 trains underground and 37 people died. I'm not making light of the 37. I'm just saying 37 is not 3,000. And underground in London is not the same as the tallest buildings on the East Coast coming down in a big crash. But, oh, they got to sell some papers. They got to figure a way to sell some newspapers. You know, the other thing, I'm going to ask a question here, and I know some of you people have a Yosemite Tutanka-sized cow when I ask a question, but if you just stop for a damn second and ask yourself, was that a question, or is he wanting to go down on Osama? Okay, I'm going to ask a question here. I wonder if there is some value in asking Al-Qaeda what their terms are. I can hear, oh, I just lost 700. I don't have that many. So I just lost a bunch of subscribers there. But the point is, if Al-Qaeda, if they have no objective, if their objective is to screw up, you know, I don't believe Bush when he says they hate freedom. Well, what? They hate the freedom to pick up a peach and put it in their mouth? They hate the freedom to walk to their mosque and pray to Allah or whoever? No, they don't hate freedom. They hate what America has done to them and their country, perceived to have done. But the story we're given, the reason Osama brought down New York, the towers, is because we put troops on their holy land. Now, if... it just makes me wonder, what would stop the attacks? I mean, I'm not saying the attacks are so horrific and ongoing that we'll do anything to stop them. I'm saying, I'm curious, wonder if they have terms. If they want us to get out of the Middle East, that's doable. Like I said years ago and caught a lot of shit for it, we could move Israel to Oklahoma if it wasn't for the damn sacred sand. They want to live with the Arabs. They want to be surrounded by 100 million Arabs who want them dead, who will easily, in a heartbeat, sacrifice their lives to kill a Jew. They want to live there more than they love life itself. They want to live on that stupid sacred sand. But if we wanted to stop all this, if the goal of the terrorists is to get us out of the Middle East, I think we can talk. Let's talk. What if we didn't have flights from New York to Damascus, or to Cairo, or Baghdad, or Kabul? Do we need to be in the Middle East? You know, we just really don't. I just don't see a reason why we need to force ourselves on these crazy people. If the Muslims want to live in the past, that they want to ride on camels in total desolation on their sacred sand, and it would save lives around the world, hey, wonder if we ought to take a look at that. Because we're kind of getting to the point now, it's going to be interesting to see how England handles this. If England overreacts, they might do things like shut down mosques, which I don't think they're going to do, but I don't know, it'd be kind of creepy to see hundreds of people walk into a mosque to pray and knowing that at least some percentage of them are planning tomorrow's bombings. It's possible that the world is so interconnected now that maybe a little bit of isolationism ought to be looked at. I'm not saying we need to surrender. I'm saying if Al-Qaeda wants us out of their countries, hey, let's consider. Let's look at it. Let's take a look at their terms and see if they might be acceptable. If someone tells me I'm going to murder you if you drive down Broadway, I might ask myself, do I need to drive down Broadway? If I live and work and exist and everything else on Broadway, I might be willing to fight for it, but what if I don't have any reason to be on Broadway? And I could have peace the rest of my life if I don't drive on Broadway. I might consider that. And that's what I'm saying. I wonder if we have to consider the possibility. But like I say, if Al-Qaeda, if there is such an organization called Al-Qaeda, you need to read that Power of Nightmares or see that movie. It's on the Friday page. The Power of Nightmares. Go to the Friday page. I think it's 1579 probably. Go there and click on that. But if Al-Qaeda, if they just want all Americans dead, then yeah, at some point we may have to entertain the glass them option. And I know you doves are screaming, but hey, if we're talking self-defense here, that's what we're talking self-defense. But if all they want is to get us out of their hair, maybe we should take a look at that. If they don't want our bridges, if they don't want our hospitals, if they don't want our technology, if they don't want our GPS locators, if they don't want any of that, if they want to live in the sand, in a tent with a camel, who are we to impose our values on them? I'm just saying it's a possibility.
You've been listening to Bartkopf Radio.